Like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. It's March 17th and 3:30 p.m. We are in the Belts Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska. Members present today: Vice Chair Senator Bjorkman, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Tilton, myself, Chair Kawasaki. Senator Wilikowski will be here shortly, and we do have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Carrie Tupou from Senate Records and Chloe Miller, the moderator with the Legislative Information Office, for being here. We just have two agenda items today. The first is a first hearing on Senate Bill 270, Grand Juries. It's sponsored by Senator Jesse Bjorkman. Second, we will have a presentation on the court system update, a couple questions on backlogs and pretrial status. First, we will hear Senate Bill 270, Grand Juries. We have before us Senator Jesse Bjorkman and staff Matthew Churchill to present the bill.
Thank you very much, Chair Kawasaki and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Senator Jesse Bjorkman. I represent the northern and central portions of the Kenai Peninsula. The bill before you, Senate Bill 270, strengthens and codifies the role of Alaska's investigative grand juries in statute and prescribes a process by which investigative grand juries can operate. Their role exists in our Constitution. However, the state legislature never has gone through a process to prescribe by which investigative grand juries would be enabled. And to make this happen, a number of my constituents, as well as others from around the state, have been advocating for some time that grand juries be able to fulfill their investigative role to look into matters of public welfare and safety. And this legislation is by one way that we could effectuate that prescription. Another way is going on right now through the court system and changing of their court rules. Invited testifiers today will present some of their input to this bill. They'll talk about the importance of investigative grand juries and how they make sure that government officials and people who are engaged in the criminal justice system are doing things by the book and the way that the public would expect. So you'll hear from them, and you'll also hear about differences between what grand juries can do or not do as far as possibly provide and present indictments after they have heard hearsay or inadmissible evidence. And we should also chat about how it is that these investigative grand juries can fulfill their role. In the bill before you, it goes on to lay out some of that prescription, but I trust that the invited testifiers and public testimony today will be able to provide their expertise to that as well. My staff, Matt Churchill, is here to go through the sectional if you wish, and I stand ready for your questions.
Are there any initial questions for the sponsor of the bill? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead to the sectional.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. For the record, Matt Churchill, I'm staff to Senator Bjorkman. So Senate Bill 270, Version A, Section 1, amends AS 09-20-080 to require that a grand jury panel, including at least two alternate jurors, the presiding judge must designate the alternate jurors when the grand jury is selected. Section 2 amends AS 09-20-090 to require that when a grand jury is impaneled, the court provide written instructions, including relevant state statutes related to grand juries. Section 3 amends AS 1240-030 to clarify the powers and duties of a grand jury. The section explicitly states that a grand jury may initiate investigations, investigate crimes, issue indictments consistent with AS 1240-180, and make recommendations concerning public welfare or safety. The section further provides that the grand jury's authority to investigate and make recommendations regarding public welfare or safety may not be limited or suspended. Section 4 adds new subsections to AS 1240-030, establishing procedures for grand jury-initiated investigations. An individual grand juror may propose an investigation related to public welfare or safety. After a reasonable period of consideration, if a majority of the grand jurors agree, the grand jury must initiate the investigation. The section clarifies that matters involving private causes of action or civil claims do not qualify as matters of public welfare or safety. Section 5 amends AS 1240-040 to clarify that if a grand juror knows or believes that a crime has been committed, the juror must disclose that information to the other grand jurors for investigation and to the prosecuting attorney or presiding judge. Section 6 amends AS 1240-050 to clarify that a grand jury may indict or present a person for a crime based on sufficient evidence whether or not the person has been held to answer for the crime. The section also provides that a grand jury may direct a prosecutor to prepare an indictment. Section 7 amends AS 1240-070 regarding the duties of prosecuting attorneys before a grand jury. The section requires that a prosecuting attorney present indictment when a defendant has been held to answer to a charge, may present indictments when the prosecutor believes a crime has been committed, must prepare indictments or presentations when required by the grand jury, and make arrangements for citizens to speak with the grand jury under AS 1240-050. Section 8 amends AS 1240-090 by adding a new subsection establishing that violating grand jury secrecy requirements under subsection A is a Class A misdemeanor. Section 9 amends AS 1240-100 to provide that only evidence that would be admissible at trial may be included in the indictment. Section 10 adds new sections to AS 1240 establishing procedures governed by grand jury investigations. AS 1240-120, it's hearsay evidence. It allows all evidence or information to be presented to a grand jury, including hearsay. A witness may summarize admissible evidence if the underlying admissible evidence will be available at trial. The prosecutor must inform the grand jury if information may be hearsay or inadmissible at trial. Inadmissible information may still be included in a grand jury report. AS 1240-130, obstructing a grand jury, creates the crime of obstructing a grand jury, which includes intentionally preventing or interfering with a person's cooperation with a grand jury investigation, establishes that obstructing a grand jury is a Class A misdemeanor. AS 1240-140, prosecutorial misconduct, provides procedures when grand jury investigation involves possible misconduct by the Department of Law or a prosecutor. In such cases, the Attorney General must appoint a neutral attorney to assist the grand jury. And AS 1240-150, citizen investigation requests. This allows a citizen who is not serving on the grand jury to request that a matter concerning public welfare or safety be investigated. The prosecuting attorney must arrange for the citizen to speak with the grand jury, which then decides by majority vote whether to investigate. AS 1240-160, grand jury reports, requires a majority of all grand jurors to approve a grand jury report. The foreperson must sign the report, and reports may include allegations of criminal misconduct. AS 1240-170, subpoena power, authorizes a grand jury conducting an investigation into public welfare or safety to issue subpoenas for testimony or documents subject to majority approval of the grand jurors and consideration of the reasonableness and necessity of the subpoena. AS 1240-180 requires the prosecuting attorney to warn the grand jury if information received may be prejudicial or inadmissible and may jeopardize an indictment. If the grand jury proceeds despite this warning, it may request that any resulting indictment be transferred to another grand jury. The grand jury may continue the investigation and issue a report. AS 1240-190, replacement grand jury, provides procedures for convening a replacement grand jury to consider an indictment when requested under AS 1240-180. The court may extend the preliminary investigation time limit to 20 days. AS 1240-200, peace officer testimony. requires a court to dismiss an indictment if inaccurate testimony from a peace officer caused by intentional or negligent misstatements or omissions prejudices the defendant's substantial rights. Section 11 amends Alaska Criminal Rule 5E relating to a felony first appearance. The amendment allows additional time for a preliminary examination when a replacement grand jury has been impaneled under AS 1240-190. Section 12 amends Alaska Criminal Rule 6S regarding admissibility of evidence before a grand jury. The amendment allows all evidence or information to be presented to the grand jury rather than limiting evidence to what would be admissible at trial. The section also retains provisions for allowing dismissal of an indictment if inaccurate peace officer testimony prejudices the defendant. Section 13 amends Alaska Criminal Rule 6-1A to simplify the rule governing grand jury authority to investigate matters concerning public welfare or safety. The amendment removes detailed criteria defining such matters and affirms the grand jury's constitutional authority to investigate and issue reports and recommendations. Section 14 repeals Criminal Rule 6IB2N3, removing provisions governing procedures for investigative grand juries. Section 15 provides that Sections 1 through 10 indirectly amend Criminal Rules 6 and 6-1 because they alter procedures governing grand jury authority, duties, and evidentiary standards. Section 16 establishes applicability provisions specifying when the new statutes and rule amendments apply to offenses and indictments. Section 17 provides that the court rule changes in the bill take effect only if approved by a two-thirds vote of each house of the legislature as required by Article 4, Section 15 of the Alaska Constitution. And finally, Section 18 provides an effective date of July 1st, 2026.
Thank you for the presentation, Mr. Churchill. Are there questions for the sponsor? I guess my first question is, under this grand jury, powers of grand jury on Article 1, Section 8, it talks about the power to investigate and make recommendations. So how does this bill change that particular power?
Mr. Chair, are you referring to the constitutional language?
So, yes. I'm just looking at the Constitution. It's pretty simplified in what the Constitution says, that the power of grand juries, that they have the power to investigate and make recommendations concerning public welfare or safety, and it shall never be suspended. That's repeated, I think, somewhere in one of the sections of this bill. I'm just curious, what's that process look like right now, and then how does this change that process?
Thank you for the question, Mr. Chair. The process right now is in a state of change, which is why this bill is timely. Currently, the Supreme Court has submitted court rule changes to Criminal Rule 6.1 that are open for public comment, and that comment period closes on April 6th. So there's some question as to whether or not the courts themselves should have the power to make rules and essentially effectuate law over grand juries, or if the power to make kind of the guidelines by which grand juries conduct themselves should rest with the legislature. The prescription here in this bill that would provide the language provided in the Constitution most powerfully is that grand juries under this piece of legislation would be able to bring indictments against people that they investigate.
So are they now not permitted? Is a grand jury not permitted to bring forward an indictment?
That's an excellent question, Mr. Chairman. During the change in processes, and I would imagine that invited testifiers will speak to this, so the courts have changed a little bit of their court rules as to what grand juries could do. There was a period of time under a iteration of court rules governing grand juries where grand juries could bring indictments. However, there was no – and this is in the very recent past, like only 2 or 3 years ago. There was no force by which a prosecutor was made to take up that indictment and prosecute the case. Currently, under court rule changes that are open for comment now, the way I understand it – and this court rule change is in your packet as well, so for reference – the way that the court rule is laid out there is that an investigative grand jury would be able to hear hearsay and inadmissible evidence, and they would be able to provide a report and recommendation. Another grand jury then would hear the case only with admissible evidence that is admissible in court and with all of the evidentiary rules in place, and then that second group would then be able to bring forward an indictment.
Okay. I'll just have to admit that this is a little bit outside of my wheelhouse, and it definitely is going to go to judiciary at some point, but I wanted to see if there's any questions of the State Affairs Committee before we go to some invited testimony that you have. Are there any questions for the sponsor of the bill? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up public and invited testimony. We have several folks who were invited to testify, the first of whom is Mr. David Haig. David Haig is joining us on Teams, and we can see him on the screen in front of us. Mr. Haig, if you could just state your name and your affiliation for the record, and welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee. And if you can try to keep your testimony under 5 minutes, that would be great.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, my name's David Haig. I hail from Browns Lake, Alaska. Like to thank you for this opportunity. First, I'm going to go over the importance of grand juries, how they fit very well into our society, how they do not fit very well into either our constitutions, statutes, and rules, and why no one, not the Alaska Supreme Court, not the United States Supreme Court, and not even the U.S. Congress, can take away their power to investigate, report, and indict. Second, I will go over the astounding facts which have brought all of us here together today, facts which indicate Alaska citizens are in imminent danger of being enslaved to a corrupt judicial system, which has found a way to protect itself from investigation and accountability. For at least 1,000 years, grand juries have protected citizens by investigating and by indicting or refusing to indict. These are called its sword and shield functions. Prior to the Revolutionary War and prior to the writing of the U.S. Constitution, American grand juries were very busy protecting American citizens from abuse by King George III and his officials by refusing to indict innocent citizens and by indicting corrupt officials. So when the United States Constitution was written, it did not create grand juries. It simply acknowledged them as an ancient power already held by citizens. In other words, nothing can modify or take this power away. The reason no details about grand juries are written down is that each individual grand jury on its own decides how to proceed about its business. The Alaska Supreme Court is currently trying to take away the grand jury's sword, otherwise known as its power to indict. This would be laughable if it weren't such an incredible danger to the safety and welfare of Alaska's citizens. A December 15, 1955 written statement by the 55 delegates drafting Alaska's Constitution also proved how misguided the Alaska Supreme Court is. This is the exact wording that the 55 delegates wrote down without a single dissent, quote, the power of grand juries to inquire into the willful misconduct in office of public officers and to find indictments in connection therewith shall never be suspended. What could possibly be the Alaska Supreme Court's motive to directly attack such an ancient, established, and for the past 200 years, constitutionally protected power? Could it possibly be the physical evidence certified as true by Superior Court Judge Stephanie Joannides that the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct is falsifying official investigations to keep corrupt judges on the bench? Or could it be the direct evidence that the Alaska Supreme Court itself conspired with the Alaska Department of Law to derail a 2022-2023 grand jury in Kenai that tried to investigate this evidence? Thank you for this opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have on how SB 270 could be greatly improved, the number one of which, anything that's done must eliminate Criminal Rule 6.1 entirely. So thank you very much, and I hope I got this in under 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Haig, and I appreciate that we've received several emails. We are updating the catalog of emails that have been sent to Senate State Affairs. So for anybody who does want to send emails as well, those emails can be sent to senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. That is senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. They'll be uploaded to the file system for permanent record. I don't see any questions. I don't see any questions here, Mr. Haig. With that, we will move on to the second person who we have for invited testimony, and that's Mr. Tom Lindley. And if you'd, he's on Teams, if you'd state your name and your affiliation for the record. Welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
I'm going to keep my camera off for a minute just to make sure that the stability of my connection works, if that's okay.
Yep, absolutely.
Good afternoon, Senators of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present today and to speak on SB 270. My name is Todd Lindley. I'm calling in from Anchorage, and I currently serve as the president of the board of the Alaska Grand Jurors Association. Since the association was officially founded, our goal has been to educate the public on the rights of the grand jury and how it is a valuable tool to the people of a nation to seek redress on concerns when other methods have failed or stalled. Mr. Haig and Mr. Ignell are way more qualified and knowledgeable than I to speak on the history and purpose of grand juries. So with the time that I have, I would like to present a couple simple questions that we've been trying to ask to any official within our government to help address our concerns. Over the last several years, those that have been following the grand jury situation closely have seen many attempts to correct the situation, but to no success. There have been previous attempts in the legislature, but those bills stalled. There have been numerous resolutions approved around the state from various municipalities agreeing that the grand jury situation needs to be investigated, but have not led to any action. There were several protests around the state, still no action or interest from our elected officials. A few of the people you will hear from today participated in a meeting with the Department of Law to look into these concerns, but were again pushed off with no follow-up. The Alaska Grand Jurors Association even bought a table at the 2025 Sustainable Energy Conference in the hopes of getting a moment with the governor, but the table was pulled at the last minute with no explanation. It seems that this is a question that no one wants to listen to or find an answer, and that is, why did the Alaska Supreme Court change the rules on grand jury investigations during an ongoing grand jury investigation into judicial corruption before the Criminal Rules Committee could review and comment? Investigations into public safety and welfare are foundational to a grand jury's power, and the fact that this question remains unanswered and the report still sealed should tell you everything you need to know. A recent example of the power of a grand jury to make presentments with regard to the public safety and welfare is the state of Florida. They had a grand jury from 2022 to 2025 investigating into various aspects of the COVID pandemic response. This was at the request of Governor Ron DeSantis to identify those things that directly impacted the safety and welfare of the people. The grand jury had subpoena power to perform this investigation, just like those of the past in Alaska, like that of former Governor Sheffield, Bartlett High School in O'Leary, and even the FBI's Operation Polar Pen that led to the conviction of several politicians and business people on corruption. We hope that today this committee will take serious this question and help the people correct this problem once and for all. This bill addresses some important aspects, like if a grand jury can be suspended or limited, or who a juror can disclose evidence of a crime to. Frankly, these have already happened, and the rules that the Supreme Court makes to administer themselves continue to be modified without any such accountability. Hence the reason why SCO 1993 was amended to SCO 2000, then to modifying the way a citizen can approach the grand jury with a new web portal, to a new rewrite by the court on Criminal Rule 6.1. What good is it for setting rules if the ones making the rules cannot follow the very rules they made to rule themselves? This has to stop. The framers of the Alaska Constitution said it best. The grand jury and its investigative power, as well as for the fact that it is sitting there as a panel sometimes, is the only recourse for a citizen to get justice, to get redress from the abuse in lower courts. It is the only safeguard a citizen occasionally has when, for any reason, and very often for political reasons, a case is not dealt with properly. Yes, SB 270 will help restore the rights of grant rights and power of the grand jury, but the legislature must go further and find out what was in the report from the Kenai grand jury investigating judicial corruption and appoint an independent commission to investigate those concerns of corruption in the judicial branch. It is necessary if the changes in this bill are to have any lasting impact. Thank you for the opportunity to provide this background and for listening to the concerns of the many Alaskans that want to see this problem investigated and fixed.
Thank you, Mr. Lindley. Are there any questions? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we will move online still. We're going to Mr. David Engel. I believe he's online.
Am I on?
Yes, you are. Mr. Engel, if you could state your name and your affiliation, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee, and if you could limit your testimony to 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. My name is David Engel from Juneau. I'm a forensic journalist who focuses on cases of injustice in Alaska. I began my career as a lawyer. Back in 2022, I was prevented from talking to a Juneau grand jury to request their investigation into the wrongful conviction of an Alaska Native man who had spent the last 15 years in jail. I wrote a book on the Alaska grand jury in connection with that request. It's available for free download on my website. I generally support SB 270 with a few amendments. Alaska's founders overwhelmingly saw the grand jury as an indispensable tool in keeping our government officials honest and truthful. Page 53 of my book cites founder Yul Kilcher, who escaped Nazi Germany. He called the grand jury, quote, the only safeguard a citizen occasionally has when for any reason, and very often for political reasons, a case is not dealt with properly. The grand jury can be appealed to directly, which is an invaluable right to the citizen, unquote. At page 57, I cite founder Mildred Herman, a lawyer who said, quote, I have from personal experience found that the grand jury protects the public, unquote. At page 61, I cite founder Lucien Barr, a Bush pilot and U.S. Marshal, in talking about grand jury investigations, said, quote, I believe that is what the grand jury is for, to protect the rights of its citizens, unquote. And then at page 62, I cite founder John Hellenthal, another lawyer, who said, quote, a grand jury can investigate anything, unquote. The type of independent grand jury our founders knew was built on almost 1,000 years of English common law and 300 years of American law. Page 18 of my book cites founding father Judge Francis Hawkinson, who wrote, the grand jury is, quote, a body of truth and power inferior to none but the legislature itself, unquote. At page 37, I cite founding father James Wilson, who was one of our first Supreme Court judges. Quote, all the operations of government and of its ministers and public officers are within the compass of their view and research. They may suggest public improvements and the modes of removing public inconveniences, they may expose to public inspection or to public punishment, public bad men, and public bad measures. On page 5, I cite the Supreme Court in a 1956 case called Costello. Quote, grand jurors were selected from the body of the people, and their work was not hampered by rigid procedural or evidential rules. In fact, grand jurors could act on their own knowledge and were free to make their presentments or indictments on such information as they deemed satisfactory. It acquired an independence in England free from control by the Crown or judges. At page 34, I talk about Thomas Dewey, who busted organized crime in New York City. He said, quote, the grand jury represents the conscience of the community and stands as the only effective bulwark against the return of the district attorney's office to political control and incompetence, unquote. Someone who participated in the drafting of our Alaska Constitution was New Jersey Supreme Court Judge Arthur Vanderbilt. 3 years earlier, Judge Vanderbilt wrote an opinion outlining in detail the purpose and function of grand juries. Here's a few of his quotes from pages 45 to 46 of my book. The right of a grand jury to make an inquiry independent of the prosecutor of the county is an inherent common law right. The maintenance of popular confidence in government requires that there be some body of laymen which may investigate any instances of public wrongdoing. There was a remarkable fact connected with the legislation respecting these early courts. In the law constituting them, there was no provision for their guidance, no rules by which they were to be governed, no mode established by which their judgments were to be enforced. The statutes constituting them were the simplest possible. The tribunals were created, their titles given, and the times and places when and where they were to meet, and that was all. My articles show that we have bad actors in our state government, both lawyers and judges, who are involved in putting innocent people in jail without fair trial, running good families, ruining good families without probable cause, and allowing Alaska to be flooded with deadly fentanyl. However, the Alaska Supreme Court and the Attorney General's office have combined to bottle up the truth for the last 36 years. The resulting buildup of corruption and malfeasance in our government now runs deep. Last summer, I wrote a few articles about how the Attorney General's office railroaded the Ketchikan police chief out of the state. In his first year, the Ketchikan Police Department increased fentanyl seizures by over 500% and was recognized by the FBI. The AG's actions were based on bogus charges, but fortunately, the chief had an honest judge in Ketchikan who dismissed three separate grand jury indictments after the state kept misleading the grand jury. This matter should greatly concern each of you, and hope you read my articles. And I'll finish up here with 10 seconds. The only way to restore justice is for the legislature to pass an amended version of this bill. You have the opportunity now to restore this critical check and balance our founders cemented into the Constitution. Please make this bill your top priority and help save innocent Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Engel, for your testimony today. Are there any questions? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we do have a lot of folks who are online to testify, and what I'll do is I'll take them in order in which they joined the teleconference today. Testimony can also be received by the State Affairs Committee at Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov. That is Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov. In case you do have, we run over your 3 minutes, or in case you do have more comments to make, we are going to start first in Homer, where we have Sunshine Konovalov. If you could state your name and your affiliation, welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Yeah, this is Sunshine Konovalov. I live in Homer, Alaska. Thank you so much for letting me testify on behalf of SB 270. I'm a union leader at CIU 775 for caregivers in Alaska. And also, I am a former Miss Alaska Universe state title holder in 2023-2024 queen representing our great state of Alaska. I care deeply about Alaskans and the direction of our grand jury and state laws and constitution. I support SB 270. The grand jury over the years has not been transparent to Alaskans. There has to be honesty, integrity, and a self of right and wrong put back into the grand jury. No one is above the law, no matter what your title is. Everyone should be held to high standards in the state of Alaska. There are no exceptions. The state constitution needs to be honored in all aspects of the law, period. I encourage you to vote in the affirmative to pass this out of the committee and to support this bill and its approval in this legislative session. Thank you for all your work you do. And Juno, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you, Ms. Konovalov. I do not have any questions for you, so we will move on next to Jessica Pleasant in Anchorage. And you have 3 minutes to testify.
Okay. My name is Jessica Pleasant. I am the first female to score a rushing touchdown in an LRC football game. I am a paralegal, a veteran. I have done work with domestic violence and security and children's program. I co-founded multiple charities, and right now I serve the homeless locally with a ministry, and I write at my website, theconservativefemme.com. And I am coming to you today because I was a victim of mistaken identity that led to allegations of child abuse against me in Tennessee after a protection order was issued against my ex in Tennessee. When he came here, the whole situation went out of control. I have been told with my paralegal skills that I was a Trojan horse, able to hide behind the disguise of another woman's record. I often say my story was really meant to be her story about the government's lies and deceptions. I believe the government thought they could lie because they felt that the other Jessica was a nobody and that she had no value, not even to be a mother. This caused irreparable harm to my family, and it took 4 years for me to get OCS to overturn the allegation. I believe this bill, 270, will only entrench the unconstitutional rules of 6.1 further into the law. I believe that we should go with the bill I believe Eastman has written to repeal 6.1 entirely and for us to rely on 6.0 because 6.0 wasn't, I believe, enough because it was written with the strict scrutiny doctrine and 6.1 uses the rational basis doctrine. And the vagueness of 6.0 is because it gives more freedom for the Alaskans. But when they use rational basis doctrine, all they have to do is prove that there is a relationship between the statute and the new rule. And so strict scrutiny means you have to show it be least restrictive and narrowly tailored. I believe keeping individuals and small groups from petitioning in 6.1A is not narrowly tailored when everyone is affected. And 6.1 as a scope, I don't believe it is a valid scope in that we cannot preserve the rest of 6.1 statute because it cannot survive severability doctrine. I believe the government claimed that all they needed was a process for the civil investigative grand jury process, but it did not do that. It actually, in effect, created unequal treatment under the law to benefit officials to protect them. It created prosecutorial overreach in violating co-equal branches. It provides legal representation to public officials on the taxpayers' dime, and it uses language that can cause a chilling effect to threaten the grand jury with accusations of fraud and harassment
Thank you. Ms.
And
Pleasant.
It calls for unconstitutional conditions.
Ms. Pleasant, can you wrap up? Your 3 minutes is over, but you can also send the rest of your testimony to us.
Okay. I would just like to say that 6.0 kept the prosecutor as a facilitator and overseer. 6.1 turned him into an effectuator, and the independence of the grand jury is being violated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Pleasant, for your testimony today. And you are welcome to send any written testimony to the committee directly at senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. That's senatestateaffairs@akleg.gov. We'll now move down to Kasiloff, where we have Mr. George Pierce. And you have 3 minutes.
Yes, this is George Pierce, a 40-year Alaska resident, and I'm calling on SB 270. And Jesse, thank you for listening to your constituents and introducing this bill. And I encourage you all to pass this bill on. We, the people on the Kenai, have had many public protests at the courthouse, Kenai Courthouse. We need to restore the rights of citizens to appeal to the grand jury directly and allow the grand jury to independently investigate misconduct, investigate corruption within our government officials and the judges. We, the citizens, should have the right to petition a grand jury directly, as was in the original grand jury handbook. Challenge the Supreme Court rules if they are unconstitutional. The power of the grand jurors to investigate into matters of public interest. Article 1, Section 8 of the Alaska Constitution, and justice is for all. Thank you very much for taking my testimony.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Pierce, for your testimony today. We will now move to Betty Jo Moore in Anchorage.
Good afternoon, Chair Kawasaki and members of Senate State Affairs. My name is Betty Jo Moore. I live in Anchorage. I represent myself. I support SB 270. Today, many citizens, by our public or written testimonies, are guarding and protecting the Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. SB 270 restores the rights of citizens to appeal directly to the grand jury and to allow the grand jury to independently investigate government misconduct. Also, a couple of minor changes are needed. On page 2, line 5 and 25, delete the word may and add the word shall. Page 6, line 22, delete the word may and add the word shall. Laws and rules matter, and they must apply to all citizens. November 22, 2022, a memorandum written by Court Rules Attorney Stacey Steinberg stated that Judge Thomas Temple had expressed concern that the rule changes were important and serious changes of a constitutional nature and should not be rushed through. SCO 1993 was rushed through and signed December 1, 2022. Changes of a constitutional nature is reference to formal fundamental alterations, which includes Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. It is of the utmost importance to the citizens of Alaska that SB 270, with public recommended changes, becomes law. Thank you, Senator Bjorkman and Senator Myers, for sponsoring SB 270.
Thank you, Betty Jo. We did get your letter, and we will submit that into the public document system. We will move now to Anchorage. We have Jan DeLand. State your name and affiliation for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Yes, my name is Jan DeLand. I'm calling from Anchorage to support SB 270. The constitutional role of the grand jury has been subverted. I've read articles from David Haig for many years, along with the solid proof of his claims. David Ignell's research has been enlightening as well. Corruption in Alaska is out of control. We need to make this correction to restore the original intent of the Alaska Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. DeLand, for your testimony today. We will now move to Palmer. We have Vlastic Morea. If you'd state your name and your affiliation for the record. So we have Vlastic Morea in Palmer. If you could state your name and your affiliation.
Yeah, hi. My name is Vlastic Marek in Palmer. And I'm calling in support of SB 270 because I believe the grand juries are essential to our way of government. And it is important that our courts respect their role in our judicial system. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony today. We are now going to move down to the Homer Legislative Information Office. We did have Laura Heckert there, and if Laura is still there, she can testify. We also have James Price at the Homer Legislative Information Office.
Lori had to leave.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have Mr. James Price, if you could just state your name and your affiliation.
My name is James Price. I represent myself. I'm from Anchor Point. I support SB 270. I sincerely appreciate the efforts of Senator Bjorkman and Senator Myers. This is a really important issue that needs to be addressed by the legislature. Mr. Ignale and Mr. Lindsay ahead of me used a quote from the Alaska Constitutional Convention from Yule Kilcher. I'd like to read that quote again, and in its entirety. And it's from the Constitutional Convention on the 45th day, January the 6th, 1956. It's in the record, page 1328. Yule Kilcher stated, Yule Kilcher was the delegate from the Homer area, stated to President Egan regarding grand jury rights to protect Alaskan citizens, quote, "It is the only safeguard a citizen occasionally has when for any reason, and very often for political reasons, a case is not dealt with properly." And the part of the statement that he didn't complete was the grand jury, and this is a quote, "the grand jury can be appealed to directly, which is an invaluable right to the citizen." Now, I'm here to tell you that right doesn't exist currently in the state of Alaska. If you go to the courthouse and you tell them you want to talk to the grand jury, you're told that's not going to happen. So I very much support this Bill 270. There really needs to be this safeguard needs to be respected. This is an actual constitutional right, and the state has an obligation to protect this right. And that's pretty much all I have to say. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I just, although I would like to just stress the fact that this is just so fundamental to having good government. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Price, for your testimony. I don't see any questions here. We'll go back to the off-nets. We have Ed Martin of Kenai. Please state your name and your affiliation. You have 3 minutes.
Yes, thank you, Chair Kawasaki, and Jesse for bringing forward Senate Bill 270. As you both are aware, I've sent you numerous documents, all of which have a rewrite with more of a lean toward a shall instead of a may with regards to how actions will be taken within those statutes identifying whom and who would preside over grand juries. First and foremost, the grand jury belongs to the people. That's what you need to put in your minds first and foremost. Secondly, that the grand jury is independent, that it shouldn't be guided by a prosecuting attorney except for in criminal cases that the prosecuting attorney or the Department of Law bring forward themselves. What we are granted in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, is it shall never be suspended. That means that, like when I went in 23, after Supreme Court Order 1993 was issued, I went right to the courthouse and asked to put a document in. They chased me over to the Department of Law, where the gatekeeper was established, supposedly. The response I got was one of the members within the Department of Law to respond to. I called her. At the same time, I was investigating whether or not some criminal act had been done by Judge Wells or other members within the court system, and I confronted at that time the trooper that was at the courthouse, and James Price can collaborate that because he was there. And I asked him to investigate whether or not a judge had been involved in tampering with a jury on a request by a grand juror to look into the Margaret Murphy case. Now, I'm starting to get little chest pains, guys. I'm 71 years old. I sent you a proposed strengthened Senate Bill 270, a sponsor statement, a section-by-section analysis, a historical foundation, and a proposed another amendment for definitions. I'm sorry, but I am starting to get really, my arms are tingling. I have to go. God bless you and your mission. I think that Senate Bill 270 needs to be amended in many places to strengthen it. And thank you, Jesse, once again, and all members of the committee.
Great. Thank you very much, Ed Martin, for your testimony. And those documents that you've sent to our office will be uploaded to the State Affairs so that all members of the State Affairs and any public member will be able to obtain those. We appreciate the input. We will now move to Sharon Walls. If Sharon Walls could just state her name and affiliation. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm here to discuss a case I was involved in regarding the Department of Law where they brought a matter to a grand jury 3 times in a 2-year period. All 3 times, the judge found the grand jury had been misled by the Department of Law through false and inaccurate testimony, improper instructions, and other issues. After the 3rd time, the judge stopped this malicious prosecution and stated she had no confidence this case could be presented fairly. From the beginning of this debacle, I believe there were broader factors at play, and there was not a single person who heard this story who did not believe that we were intentionally targeted. That included the former Alaska Police Commissioner. My husband's role at work contributed to a significant increase in fentanyl seizures with commendations from the FBI. Now, I'm not here to speculate on whether that's connected to what happened to us, but what I am saying is when you have serious facts, credible witnesses and sworn testimony, and a case would be prevented from being presented because it involves the gatekeepers like Craig Taylor and John Skidmore, then you don't have a functioning system. If the grand jury process was allowed to operate independently, the truth could be determined based on real evidence. The judge in our case found that the state trooper gave substantially false and inaccurate testimony all 3 times. And yet that trooper is still working today and was promoted within months of this judge's ruling. Ironically, in 2021, the Department of Law issued a memorandum authored by John Skidmore requiring disclosures of Brady and Giglio material. That memorandum was issued as a direct result of a case involving this same trooper. So the very conduct that triggered a statewide policy should have required disclosure here, but it wasn't. No information was turned over, including the trooper's criminal conviction history. It was withheld. Typically, this would trigger an officer's name to be placed on a Brady list, not a warrant for promotion. In Alaska, authority flows from the top down. The governor appoints the attorney general, and that structure extends across the Department of Law and state law enforcement. When all of these entities operate within the same chain of authority, there is no meaningful incentive for one to challenge another, and this leaves the grand jury as the only true independent resource available. And when that process is controlled by the people who are at the center of these complaints, there's no recourse at all.
This past summer, I presented this information directly to Trey Taylor at a town hall. I told him I have recordings, not speculation, actual recordings of the actions by members of his office threatening me and other actions by law enforcement. Offered to let him hear it. He refused. He declined to review the evidence, instead stated that his office had done nothing wrong, despite the judge's ruling that said otherwise. He attempted to minimize the dismissal, stating it was just procedural errors. Refusal to look at evidence, and he was the head of the agency entrusted to investigate his own actions. I have more faith in 15 citizens on a grand jury than I do the Department of Law. Inaction regarding this issue is an endorsement of the corruption of all of these citizens are attesting to. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walls, for your testimony today. I don't have any questions for you. We're going to continue on to off nets. We have Queen Parker of Sterling.
Oh, hi, my name is Queen Parker Sterling. I'm just a concerned citizen. I say that the grand jury should be an entity set apart to protect the citizens and investigate how public officials are conducting public trust to receive justice and not a slap in the face. So I support SB 270, which will restore the rights of citizens to appeal to the grand jury directly and to allow the grand jury to independently investigate government misconduct. So that's what I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you so much for your testimony. We will keep on off nets and go to Carol Christie.
Hello.
Hello. We can hear you. Just,
am I on?
You are. State your name and your affiliation for the record.
My name is Carol Christie. I'm from Anchor Point. I'm a concerned citizen. I endorse SB 270. I would like to see the suggested changes made by the others that would confirm its usefulness. I do think that citizens should be able to go directly, say, to a grand jury foreman to make it an actual procedure, a way to contact the grand jury foreman with something in writing. Because there's not specified any place how you can contact them, and they right now they restrict it to make it you have to go through a district attorney or somebody else who can stop the investigation or say it's not worthy of being investigated. So that's important to me, to see to it that any citizen that has a concern about corruption in the government or public concern of any kind, that they can go directly to the grand jury and say hand something in writing that they made to a grand jury foreman and know that it will be looked at and investigated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Christie. We will stay on off nets one more time. We are in Soldotna with Joan Kaur. If you'd state your name and your affiliation.
I'm Joan Kaur, and I'm just a concerned citizen in Soldotna, and I'd like to thank you for introducing SB 270 and for allowing this hearing and having us to say our beliefs about it. And I'd ask you to support this bill with maybe some amendments that have been suggested. And we would like to have our rights to appeal to the grand jury directly be restored. And I also would like for grand juries to independently investigate government misconduct, which includes lawyers and judges. And this was the original intent of those who set up our state government, as you've heard. It was also the right of the people to immediately receive the report on what the grand jury found out. And I would ask that the report be released, the one that they've held up in Kenai here. So our juries are our last rights, our last time that we can actually stand up and defend ourselves, which seems like it's taken away from us. So it also states in our Constitution, I think it's in Article 1, Section 8, that it's a felony for anyone to inhibit the grand juries from doing their job. And I don't understand why some of our judges and lawyers have not been charged with felonies, because they have obviously inhibited our local grand juries here from doing their job for years. And And I also would like to see that Rule 6.1 totally eliminated. That's just a travesty. I think that we need to impeach some judges. And I also would like an independent commission to be set up to investigate judicial corruption, as has been suggested by many people. So I thank Senator Bjorkman and Senator Myers for sponsoring and co-sponsoring, and for you to allow this bill to come to have a hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Kaur. I don't see any questions. We'll stay on off-nets for Mr. Bill Wilds of Juneau, if you'd state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Yeah, my name is Bill Wilds from Juneau, business owner since the early 80s. And, you know, the grand jury original intent is to be the people's panel, not to be influenced by anything to do with the judicial system or the legislative system, for that matter. The original intent of grand juries was to give the people the ability to investigate anything of public concern. So I do support this bill with some changes, and I think there's plenty of people that have kind of brought out what some of them changes are. I will try to put something in writing, too, and send it to you guys. And outside of that, have a great evening.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. Let's see. We will now move to the Kenai LIO, where we have Alan McLean.
Yes, my name is Alan McLean. I represent myself. I've been a resident for 60 years. I'd like to concisely but adamantly state, anyone who thinks there is no deep, deep state in Alaska has been living under a rock for multiple decades. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Great. Thank you, Mr. McLean. We'll stay at the Kenai LIO. We have Mr. James Harpring.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you to the chair. My name is James Harpring, and I live here in Soldotna, Alaska. I followed this proceedings from both when Senator Manchiki introduced similar legislation and then Representative Eastman had other aspects of it. They gained no traction. And now, finding out after about 12 years, literally trying to look through the process, I was really concerned because I've been a resident of Alaska for 40 years. I have a graduate degree in justice. And I couldn't understand how the Constitution could be so violated in this particular state as compared to other states. The issue, though, that I really had was when A.G. Taylor came down to Soldotna and was confronted with the issues that Mr. Hague and others had presented, as well as the Ketchikan issue, where, you know, after three attempts by the A.G.'s office to bring that particular element forward, you know, the judge was really very upset and went ruled with prejudice, and no can do anymore. And then you go to Fairbanks, and all that testimony came out that night with the child advocacy issue up there. Then you go to the Kenai. It's statewide, these issues of related intolerance to the Constitution. And then you present this with one finding that trying to do the bill. I've read through the bill, and I've got recommended numerous changes that I'll address in writing. But the one that I singularly find was when H.E. Taylor was here in the Kenai, and that room was packed that night. The room was standing room only. But it was at the gatekeeper, and that was a handoff to his new associate who had a gatekeeping concept that you still had to go to the A.G. to be represented or to proceed to the grand jury. I find that very intimidating, number one. And number two, under my first reading of this, and it's just a copious note, that the issue is that you have to still be a member in standing and embedded as far as enabled to present as a grand juror an investigation. The general public still has a gatekeeping function that you have to still jump through. And it isn't addressed how that functionality procedurally, administratively, is to fulfill itself under the current legislation proposed. That's all I have. Less questions are provided.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Harpring. I don't see any questions, so we'll move back to the final few here. We have Heather Johnson in Kenai on the off-nets.
Hi, my name is Heather Johnson. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My husband and I have been tortured in the state of Alaska due to corruption of the courts. And until it happens to you, you have no idea that things like this can even happen to a citizen. My husband was crushed and trapped under a 10-ton cinder block wall filled with cement in 2014. He was broken from his neck to his feet, and he suffered many, many injuries. Just living every day has been hard. This happened at Service High School, so we have the school district, municipality of Anchorage, state of Alaska, big names in construction industry. All are involved and all are protected. We have been fighting in the Workers' Compensation Board. We haven't been allowed to present evidence at all. And then they write about how he's not credible and he can't use his PTSD as an excuse and so many other things. The employer was indemnifying the architects and engineers that we were suing, and they sent us out of the state despite having a stipulation not to go out of state. And on the very day we attended this examination out of state, the architects and engineers put into the court that my husband had agreed to settle his case. There was no evidence. There was no signed document. There was nothing. And we were out of state, and we missed the filing. And so we didn't know what they had done, and Judge Arseth enforced a settlement that never happened and that we didn't even know existed. And so when he dismissed the case, we believed that he forced a settlement on us because we didn't know we were pro se. And it wasn't until, like, 6 months later, his employer motioned to dismiss his entire workers' compensation case based on him accepting a settlement when they had a $1 million lien, which they would have paid themselves if we had won anything. So we actually went and did a 60B, and Judge Thomas Matthews actually gave us relief. And we, the other side, appealed to the Supreme Court. And the justice who took the case was actually a partner at Burr, Pease & Kurtz for 12 years with the attorney we were up against. And he did not recuse himself. And he didn't find that we had settled, but he found that the 3 months it took for us to get the 60B fraud was just too much and too long, even though my husband's disabled with a payee. So we ended up losing the case, and then the work comp board dismissed our other case based on us accepting a settlement that the employer was indemnifying and pushing the whole time. We've tried to call the FBI. They said it's civil. We've tried to call the police. It's the municipality of Anchorage in the state of Alaska. We've tried to call the U.S. attorney. And it's just, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to complain. There's fraud happening all over in these courts, and nobody's doing a thing about it. I emailed Governor Dunleavy about what was going on in the Workers' Compensation Board before he ever took office. And he put Gray Mitchell on anyway. And Gray Mitchell actually told on a hot mic that he thought had been turned off, told everybody that he didn't give a F-U-C-K about the laws and regulations. And he told Ronald Ringel, the chief of adjudicator of workers' comp, that he could do whatever he wanted to do. Anyway, I just want to let you know there are misconduct. There is misconduct going on all over the place, and we have been tortured, and you need to support SB 270.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. We will move on to Scott Egger, who's online from the Nilchik.
Yeah, hi, this is Scott Egger in the Nilchik. I'm representing myself, and I'm for the most part in agreement with 270. There are a few sections that need to be reworded and changed a little. You've gotten some great information from many of the other callers. One of the things that jumped out at me on there is, once again, the AG had some say as to how the grand jury was to be organized. That in itself jumps out because the AG was one of the people that we wanted to have investigated by the grand jury. And in this bill, I see that he still has a say as to what's going to go forward or not. So there are some tweaks that need to be made in this bill. And when you make these changes, I would like you to understand the constitutional nature of the wording that needs to be used in here. We are trying to make things laws and rules for the people, not for the state, not for the government, but for we the people. And when you write these up, I would like you to keep that in mind. One other thing I want to get into here briefly, but I want to point some fingers as to some of the things that have been going on here. Where have the legislators been for all of these years when we have had all these problems down here on the Kenai Peninsula, well established, well identified by the media? And where were the legislators trying to help us 3, 4, 5 years ago? Furthermore, where were the legislators when the Supreme Court ruled on 1993, which even a seventh grader can see is unconstitutional on the face of it? It's time the legislators, and for that matter, the AG and Dunleavy, or whoever else is going to be governor, jump all over this stuff and start curbing this lawlessness that's going on in our state government. I'll let it go at that, but just keep in mind when you write these bills up that these things need to be the way we the people want them. They are for we the people, and they are not there to protect the government. One last thing, Judge Matthews released the grand jury report on judicial corruption. Thank you for your time.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Egger. We have one, or I'm sorry, we got two last folks. Matthew Morse, if you'd state your name and your affiliation for the record.
Matthew Morse. I'm in Kenai representing myself. What the Alaska Supreme Court did was an infringement and violation of Alaskans' constitutional rights, and the passing of SB 270 would rectify that. Bob Byrd wrote in a recent Alaska Watchman article, we shouldn't really be surprised, though, because there's been multiple other infractions that the Alaska Supreme Court has been able to violate Alaskans' constitutional rights. One in 1996 when they stole the power to amend the Constitution from the people in the legislature in the Valley Hospital case. They stole the power of the purse by ordering abortion funding under the invented right to privacy. They stole the authority of defining limits to privacy from the legislature clearly laid out in Article 1, Section 22. They stole the power of the governor's veto and legislature's power to override it in the ACLU versus Dunleavy case, where they themselves were a partisan interested party. They stole the power of the legislature to limit citizens' initiatives to one topic in 2020 and 2024. And they stole the right of the people to testify before the grand jury outside the permission of the attorney general in SCO 1993. So, you know, this needs to be taken care of. And if we had a legislature that was courageous and really worked for the people, they would introduce articles of impeachment for all the justices that were involved in the citizens' grand jury case.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Morse. I don't see any questions. We'll finally move on to our last testifier, who is Ben Carpenter.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. This is Ben Carpenter in Nikiski, former colleague. I'm looking at you on the video. It's good to see all your faces. Thanks for taking testimony on this bill today. I'm going to offer just a couple quick words here to kind of shape the conversation. During my service as a legislator, it came to my awareness that members of the Bar Association in both the Department of Law and the court have been avoiding their duty by preventing the grand jury from fulfilling its constitutional and statutory authority. AS 1240-030 states that the grand jury shall have the power to investigate and make recommendations concerning the public welfare or safety. And AS 1240-040 requires an individual grand juror to disclose knowledge of a crime to the other jurors. Ladies and gentlemen, it requires an individual grand juror to disclose knowledge of a crime to the other grand jurors. That's in our statutes.
Assistant Attorney General Skidmore and court counsel Nancy Mead both told me that it was their opinion that members of the public should not be allowed to present information to a grand jury without the district attorney's approval. The evidence will show that Assistant AG Skidmore on two occasions prevented individual grand jurors from presenting information to the grand jury they were assigned to. Alaska's grand jury has a systemic problem that needs to be addressed and can only be done so with legislation by the legislature. AS 1240-070 lists three duties for prosecuting attorneys. Number one and number two are what attorneys do on a regular basis. Number one, they shall submit an indictment to a grand jury when a person has been arrested to answer for a criminal charge. Number two, they shall submit an indictment to the grand jury when a prosecuting attorney has good reason to believe a crime has been committed. And the third duty, which has been avoided for many years, the prosecuting attorney shall prepare indictments or presentments for the grand jury when required by the grand jury. The evidence will show that it is this last statutory responsibility in AS 1240-070 that prosecuting attorneys have been avoiding. AS 1240-090 clearly states that a grand juror cannot be questioned for anything the juror may say or any vote the juror may give while acting as a grand juror on any matter legally pending before the grand jury. And yet the evidence shows that both the Department of Law and the court have questioned grand jurors about what they want to say to the grand jury and have prevented those members from sharing information with the grand jury. Senate Bill 270 strengthens the Alaska grand jury, and I would like to see it passed. I would also like to see the legislature weigh in on the constitutionality of Court Rule 6.1. I believe the evidence will show that Rule 6.1 is unconstitutional and should be repealed by the legislature. Finally, in closing, I would like to leave with you the oath that grand jurors are required to take. You and each of you as members of the grand jury for the state of Alaska do solemnly swear or affirm that you will diligently inquire and true presentment make of all such matters that shall be given to you for consideration or shall otherwise come to your knowledge in connection with your present service, that you will preserve the secrecy required by law as to all proceedings had before you, that you will present no one through envy, hatred, malice, or leave anyone unpresented through fear, affection, gain, reward, or hope thereof, but that you will present all things truly and impartially as they come to your knowledge according to the best of your understanding. Whatever the legislature does to improve the grand jury needs to empower Alaskans who are required to take this oath before they assume the responsibilities of grand juror, before they are placed in the position to begin the process of depriving Alaskans of their liberty if they've committed a crime, or before they begin investigating public corruption in our government, as is their constitutional right and responsibility. If the grand jury can be trusted to indict one of us and cause our liberty to be taken away, as is our constitutional way of justice, then we can trust the same grand jury to decide what is worthy to be investigated and what is frivolous. We can trust them to decide what needs to be indicted and what information needs to be placed in a report to be released to the public. Thank you for prioritizing the grand jury, this legislature, and thank you for listening to my comments.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for being here to testify. We actually did just get one more person to testify at the Kenai Legislative Information Office, and that's Barbara Seward. You have the last word.
Hi. good evening. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and thank you for taking your time and on this bill. And I am supportive of SB 270, and I hope you do pass this with some modifications that have been suggested, as also like getting rid of the criminal rule 6.10 and 6.1. And I've watched, I've listened and been with David Hague, and has seen, he has exposed a lot of the corruption, has brought this to the attention, and we tried to talk to get Governor Dunleavy in Anchorage when the Senator Symposium was there, and he did not come out to talk with us, but the former Attorney General at the time did, and he had a conversation with David Hague, and I was there, and I saw, well, the one thing that Trey question to be seen, he would know about it. And I thought that that was quite surprising when he didn't even want to see what David Haig had to say or, you know, or show his proof of corruption. And then now he's coming out saying there. Well, then he went down and took him down to Saldana and was talking about the gatekeeper thing. Well, nobody wants him to be the gatekeeper when he couldn't see the corruption beginning. And now he seems to say that there is corruption. So I don't know what that's all about, but I just wanted to say I'm a concerned citizen about what's going on, and I thank you for taking this up.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Seward. I see nobody else online. Is there anybody in the room who'd like to testify to Senate Bill 270? Before we set Senate Bill 270 aside, just wanted to see if Senator Bjorkman, if you had any comments you'd like to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to everyone who called in to testify today. Clearly, this is an issue that many people care a lot about, and as we have seen the process evolve through the different proposed state Supreme Court orders and now this proposed court rule change that is open for comment right now dealing with grand juries and then also the piece of legislation before us here in 270, we see a number of different paths and possibilities that are offered as to how grand juries will be prescribed and then be able to be approached directly or indirectly by citizens. And we heard some of the value of people being able to present directly to the grand jury. I would encourage folks to please read the proposed court rule change that is open for comment right now and notice the difference. And maybe I think it would be important for people to understand why there is a difference as well. As we look at the process, though, there are a lot of questions that are left unanswered about why some of the situations have occurred the way that they did, which we heard testimony about today. And I think additional communication about those situations to the people that have been affected is definitely warranted. And some time talking through those situations with a group of their peers in a grand jury situation is needed. I think what you heard a lot of today from testifiers is that they don't like the fact that someone is going to filter their accounts or their stories of how they have been impacted by a perceived injustice of the system. And this idea that somehow they can, in the system previous to the one being proposed by the court rule change, somehow put in comments into an online portal and that be their path to a grand jury was not acceptable. And it's clearly understandable why that would be. Although I think the process that is in front of the court now is different. There still are some obvious concerns, but I think it's important that folks look at those. I want to thank Representative Carpenter for calling in. Much of the bill, pretty much all of this bill, is an idea that he presented as an amendment to House Bill 66, the crime bill, a couple of years ago. And you heard mentioned about a report that was created by a grand jury in Kenai a couple of years ago. I made an amendment on the floor a couple of years ago to have that report released. And so as we look at things going forward, I think it's important to understand why these things have happened and what processes can be put in place to allay some of these concerns and so that people can have their day in court. So I appreciate folks kind of submitting comments about this bill, and thank you to the committee for hearing it.
Thank you, Senator Bjorkman. I'll close public testimony at this point, but if there are folks who want to testify at a future hearing or through email, they can send it to Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov, Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov. The original plan was to hear from the Alaska court systems and Nancy Mead, and I think what we're going to do is defer that to the very beginning of the following meeting. So I'll make that announcement now that on Thursday, March 19th, we're going to have a presentation from the Department of Corrections, a review of their pretrial probation and parole and institutions divisions. And we'll talk a little bit about recidivism, and I think it'll work really well with the court system and Nancy Mead being here at that time. So we will also hear, sorry to be on the record, we'll also hear Senate Bill 245. That is Arts and Culture Day. It's sponsored by Senator Rob Yunt. We'll also hear Senate Bill 162, Specie as Legal Tender, sponsored by Senator Kronk. If there's no other business to bring before the committee, we will stand in adjournment. Let the record reflect that it's 16:57.